Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. F*** it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
That's right, folks. We are playing the Answer of the Week live from Legend Comics in Omaha, Nebraska. Anybody who cares, put your hands together. Listen to this crowd. It's insane. There's got to be 600,000 people here. My name is Matt Baum. I am one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. Sitting next to me, my good friend and co-host. His name is Joe Patrick. Yeah, that's what he sounds like, right? Say hello, Joey.
I have crippling social anxiety. Let's get it over with.
Down a little bit. So here's how it works. Each week, we have a website. It's called twoheadednerd.com. It's on the front of this banner in front of us here. We post the question of the week on our forums. It is typically comic book or nerd movie or TV related. You can then go to our forums, you can answer the question, or you can call us at 402-819-4894 and record your answer on our voicemail. Or you can get super technical and you can send us an MP3 of your answer.
This week's question came from our good friend Anthony from Brooklyn. He says, quote, "So we're watching Return of the Jedi at my house, and I know my kids are going to love the Ewoks. And when I was 8 years old, I thought the Ewoks were awesome. But nerds today always bash on the Ewoks. So my question is this. What do nerds trash today that you thought was cool when you were young, and do you still think it's cool?"
Okay, so when you were a little guy...
That's a complex question.
You liked this thing. Now that you're older, looking back, you still kind of like it, but other people are like, that is super lame. Once again, if you guys have answers, you're welcome to come up to the mic. We're going to go ahead and get started.
Like, this guy right here is a huge Jar Jar Binks fan, I can tell.
Oh, that's disgusting. I wouldn't say that about anybody. We're going to get started with one of our callers here.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Play you an example of what they had to say for the answer of the week.
Hey, nerds, this is Ian the Villain calling in to answer the question of the week. It just really jumped out at me right when you asked about something that you liked as a child that people hate on now that you might still like. And my answer is Gambit. Like, I don't know. I just loved Gambit as a kid. He was super awesome to me. I don't know. Maybe it was the throwing cards or the accent or the trench coat. I don't think it was
or those
pink,
dreamy eyes.
Or the weird face thing.
Or the pink.
Yeah, I just always liked Gambit. When I fell out of comics for a while, I didn't really pay attention. And I came back and... basically, everybody has it out for Gambit, and they just super hate him, and it's like he's embodied everything they hate about the 90s all in one character somehow. Just feels like everybody takes a lot out on him. I understand he's not a very interesting character, and the stuff I've read with him, it's not very great. But, you know, honestly, you could say that for half the X-Men. I don't know. I still think Gambit's kind of a cool character. He's not as horrible as people make him out to be. I feel like he gets a lot of heat. Maybe he sucks, though. It could totally be me. He probably sucks, and I'm just got that nostalgia I can't get out of me. But yeah, Gambit, definitely still got a soft spot for that guy. Thanks, guys. Love the podcast. Talk to you later.
Ian the Villain calls in. His answer is Gambit.
He is but very not, conflicted about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure he actually likes Gambit. He sounded like he thinks Gambit kind of sucks, too.
Well, it sounds like he's ashamed for loving Gambit.
That could be part of the problem.
And listen, man, we're not here to judge.
Anybody who's paying attention, Gambit, cool or not? That's a boo. We've got a boo.
We got a thumbs up from Keith Binder.
Anybody else? Gambit. We got
no
another
one
thumbs up.
To that guy.
We got two thumbs sideways, sort of wiggling, and then a one thumb up. So... Ian, you're not alone.
The room is split.
Personally, I think Gambit sucks.
Gambit's as cool as he ever was, buddy.
Gambit sucks, man. He totally sucks.
Don't stop
believing.
His powers
suck. His outfit sucks. He sucks.
His powers are cool.
His dumb Cajun accent sucks. Like, hey there, Sherry. I was just a really
He makes things. He's not Paul Prudhomme. The Cajun chef. He makes things glow with pink. They explode. That's awesome.
Let's go to our next caller, Joe Patrick. Let's go to Demetrius Murray. Calls in often. Used to call in under a pseudonym. Just went back to his normal name.
Yeah, it's because he wasn't fooling anybody.
That's okay. That's all right.
How's it going, guys? Demetrius here, answering your question in a week. My answer for you guys is the Care Bears. I loved the Care Bears as a kid. It was like unisex. Anybody can love it. You weren't weird for liking the Care Bears, and now that I'm older, I still think Care Bears are awesome. The Care Bears movie 2 was the darkest damn thing I saw as a kid, and now that I'm older, it still creeps the living hell out of me. Just got really dark and really weird. And no one thinks it's cool anymore. Everyone loves being bronies and My Little Pony fans. Yeah, I don't get it. But that's my answer, man. Care Bear stare. That's my jam. Take it easy. I'm such a nerd.
Okay, he's absolutely right. Care Bears the movie 2 got super dark. And for those of you who don't remember Care Bears, or Care Bears 2, the movie, animated feature, they went to like camp. A bunch of kids went to camp, and there's this kid, they all wanted to be the camp champ. And there's this one kid who became totally evil. He got obsessed with being the camp champ and freaked out, like the power went to his head, and he became like this evil camp champ that lorded over the other kids.
This.
It's the truth. And it was terrifying. And there was like, he was chasing the other kids around, and one of them brought a Care Bear with him and was like, Care Bears, you gotta help me kill the camp champ. This guy's a lunatic. They didn't kill him, they did the Care Bear stare thing where they shoot their, you know, rainbow chest.
They didn't come
there it is. We got a Care Bear stare right in front of us.
They didn't That's come beautiful. In and say, hey, we need you to kill the camp champ.
They wanted him killed. That's the kid right there. See? You looked it up to fact check me. There you go. Evil camp champ. Now, here's a question I pose.
He doesn't look that evil.
And there's probably some of you sickos in here. It's very popular for dudes to like My Little Pony right now. Personally, I think it's disgusting.
Listen, know your audience, Matt.
I think it's disgusting.
You're in the wrong place
for
this
kind of rant. My question is, why are bronies okay, but it's not okay for dudes to like Care Bears? Anyone. Please, approach the mic, sir.
Because...
Whoa. First, your name.
Oh, my name is Mark. My Little Pony was created for my age group by a lot of the people that guys have made Dexter's Lab.
Okay.
A lot of the old cartoons that, like, I grew up with.
Okay.
It was made by the same people. So for us, it's a... Or I shouldn't say us. I'm not a brony. But for a lot of people...
That's okay. It's very brave of you, sir.
For a lot of people, it's very nostalgic.
Okay. But why
Thank
not
you,
the
Mark.
Care Bears?
Matt.
I also remember the Care Bears, and I don't find a problem with that either.
Okay, all right,
yeah,
fair
enough. I want to know who out there is saying that the Care Bears are awful and you're dumb for liking them.
No, I'm not saying that they're awful. Well, a lot of people are.
Do you feel self-conscious about it?
The Care Bears were awful, and you're dumb if you like them.
Are you self-loathing about your own love of Care Bears?
That was an excellent call from Demetrius. Thank you very much for helping us out there, Matt.
Mark.
Speaking of live answers, we have some people lined up that want to give their answer. They still have to stick to the two-minute timeline. Which one of you jerks would like to go first? Get up here. Elise Wisdom, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, let me hold on. Let me set the stage here. This was something that Matt did not agree to, but longtime listeners of the show may remember a lot of banter back and forth between Matt and Elise regarding Matt's height. Matt's height versus Elise's height. We are going to measure back to back. Their heights.
Because.
And for once and for all, we will see who is taller and by how much.
Well, we know that Elise is taller, but I mean, really.
Let's do it right now.
I will
Keith
take
Binder.
Off my shoes so no one thinks that I'm wearing heels.
Yeah, listen. Matt maintains to this day that Elise is only 1 inch taller than him, and I am here to tell you that she is at least 4 or 5 inches taller.
I will say her butt feels great on the small of my back.
That was weird. So, for the record, Matt Baum is the shortest person in this room.
There we go.
Over 10.
There we go.
This is Keith Binder with the official results.
Okay, Keith.
Matt Baum at a whopping 5'2.5".
I think it's 5'3", buddy, but nice try.
Whatever.
Keep telling yourself.
You're wearing platform sneakers.
And Elise Wisdom at 5'8".
Oh, I still think that's a joke.
She's got heels.
In shoes. Not like tall heels, but like,
I mean,
boot
Doc
heels.
Martin
sure.
Style.
Regardless, let's get up and let's talk about what Elise used to think was cool when she was a kid, but people make fun of her for now.
Hello. First, I want to say thank you for letting me out of the kennel to be here today.
Hooray.
Very
really
welcome.
Appreciate it. Before anybody freaks out, it is not a sex kennel. The only action I saw was watching Matt struggle to reach the remote after Casey left it too high up on a shelf.
Oh, there it is.
You remember
this
that day.
This is why we love her.
You remember
she
that day.
She brought
you
a joke with her.
I did.
That's excellent. That's
you got
excellent.
A chair from the kitchen. It was adorable.
Oh, it's a stool. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. So my answer for today is one that over the years a lot of people disagree with me. They say you're completely wrong. That's the absolute worst one.
Okay.
But lately, last few days, people have actually been getting on my side, so maybe I'm wrong. But Star Trek Voyager.
Star Trek Voyager?
I loved Star Trek Voyager, and I rewatched it a few years ago, and I still love it. And every time I say this, everybody goes like, oh, that's like the worst one.
Voyager? No way. The last one was the worst
one. I think Voyager was the worst one, but it was supplanted by Star Trek Enterprise.
That's what happened.
Enterprise, okay. Way worse than Voyager.
Wait, what was that, John Bunger?
Voyager's great.
You know what?
I liked
John
Voyager
Bunger.
Too.
Thank you.
I liked Voyager too. And I will say, like when it first came on, people kicked it around or whatever. But it was a good show. It ended up really good. I liked the Doctor guy. He was
great. I love the Doctor. He's my favorite part.
He was awesome.
He's a hologram, but he has the most personality than anybody else on that show.
And anybody who says that Enterprise is better than Voyager is an idiot.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. And I don't care if you're here. And I don't even want to hear your defense of Enterprise. That show sucked. There we go.
It's got the worst television theme song in the history of television.
It's terrible.
Certainly in the history of Star Trek television.
Elise Wisdom, thank you very much for
your
answer.
You're welcome. I will see you back in the kennel.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much,
Wisdom
darling.
Out.
Wisdom out.
Should we move on to the guy that came up with this question?
Anthony.
It's our friend Anthony from Brooklyn. People in other states listen to the show, okay, folks? It's important, all right?
We have tens of listeners.
Warning, this MP3 will contain spoilers for a 30-year-old movie. Hello, Joe and Matt. Hello, listen nerds. It's Anthony from Brooklyn. And you know there are things out there that nerds love to trash without admitting to themselves or to others that they initially thought they were cool. One of those things? Ewoks. I think they were cool, and I still think they're cool. I've got three reasons. Reason number one, they're adorable. And that's not a detriment. See, their cuteness was just the salve I required after being scarred by watching Empire Strikes Back. Imagine, if you will, being 5 years old, looking up at a giant movie screen, and seeing one of your childhood heroes lose his hand, find out the bad guy's his father, and his best friend is frozen in carbonite. I kid you not, I left the theater bawling. Reason number two. People call false that the Ewoks win the Battle of Endor. And see, I think they use superior numbers and guerrilla warfare tactics
emerge
triumphant.
Come on.
See, the Ewoks in general live under a don't want none, won't be none attitude, but they're going to prepare. Just like Batman. See, the Ewoks tolerated the Stormtroopers' presence, and the Stormtroopers, in turn, ignored the Ewoks. Not a good idea. While the Stormtroopers are building their little force field thingy, the Ewoks are preparing in case things go south.
With rocks and sticks.
And don't tell me that when those logs come shooting out of the forest and crush that Imperial Walker's head, that isn't awesome, because it is. Plus, they're jumping on Stormtroopers, bashing them in the head, and giggling. They're laughing as they're ending someone's life.
So they're psychotic.
They're adorable, psychotic, okay. And dangerous. Hence, awesome. And reason number three, nub-nub. See, if you've got Wookiees in Return of the Jedi, you don't get the Nub Nub song. And that Nub Nub song is catchy as hell. And I love it. Thank you.
Anthony from Brooklyn loves the Ewoks, defends his choice of the Ewoks.
I'm convinced.
With the song, which he said Nub Nub. I'm pretty sure it's Yub Nub.
Listen,
is it
if, anyone,
or Yub
if
Nub?
Anyone on this podcast is an expert, it's Anthony.
I think it's Yub Nub. Can we get a fact check on that?
Can we devote any
that?
More time to...
Come on, we got Google called up. Let's fact check that.
All right.
So the Ewoks, let's just spell this
song.
Out. People think the Ewoks are lame.
It's Yub Nub.
It's Yub Nub. Okay, thank you. So people think the Ewoks are lame, and I tend to agree, because we almost got the planet of the Wookiees. And Wookiees fighting Stormtroopers, way cooler. And yes, it was cool when the two logs... Nice job, Joe. It was cool when the two logs hit the walker in the head. Yes. But you can't tell me a bunch of teddy bears are going to take out a battalion of Imperial forces. They've got laser guns. It's stupid.
I think we should listen to the Yub Nub song.
It's going to be way loud. Come on, we're on a live show. Say it in the mic.
Anything is that Stormtroopers can hit anything.
Okay. I will say, yes, Stormtroopers have trouble shooting stuff, but they did take over the galaxy.
Well, the Stormtroopers didn't do it.
And I'm not saying I don't like the Yub Nub song. It's great. It makes everybody feel good, right? So what do you guys think? Ewoks?
Koti Chatu Yawa.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Ewoks. I need your hands. We got a thumbs up from Mrs. Bunger. We got a thumbs up from Elise. We got another thumbs up over here. Tim Benson, thumbs down.
Thumbs down from
Tim. See, I knew
Mayer.
Somebody else in here was a jerk like me. Thank you,
Tim. Well, that's enough of that nonsense.
Anthony loves the Ewoks. All right there. Let's go back to our live folks. I know we've got somebody else in line here to defend something they thought was cool when they were a kid that people make fun of now. Here he comes, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together, Patrick Kavanaugh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Resident Aquaman superfan, Patrick.
Here we go.
Once again. When I was a kid, I loved the Garbage Pail Kids.
Okay.
I love them so much. They're getting a bit of a revival. I get it. They have comics. They're fun. So maybe they're not like universally panned, but I also love and still do the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Oh, wow.
I will still watch that to this day.
Wow.
In fact, let me blow your mind grapes. I own two copies of the Garbage Pail Kids movie on DVD.
Sir,
that's how much I love it.
I salute your bravery.
Yes. That's how much I love it is that I saw it at a store, and I wanted to get it, and I thought, you know what? I think I might already actually have that. But to be safe, I can't possibly arrive at home and be in a state where I don't have the movie. So I went ahead and bought it, so I have two.
Can I get an IMDb on Garbage Pail Kids the movie, please? I gotta know who is in charge of this. Pardon my pun, but stinker.
What genius, you mean?
So, Patrick, I'm gonna say Garbage Pail Kids, still very cool. Garbage Pail Kids the movie?
Also still very cool.
I don't know, man.
It was fun.
It was certainly a time where Hollywood was not afraid to throw money at anything.
Right, and they did, and I dished it out.
On IMDb.com, Garbage Pail Kids has a 2.7 out of 10 star rating.
Okay. All right.
From a whopping 5,300 votes.
Wow.
That 0.7 is important. Let's round that up to a 3.
We'll call it a 3.
Who is our creative team behind the Garbage Pail Kids?
All right.
Give me a director.
So the director of the Garbage Pail Kids movie was a man named Rod Amato.
Can we get some
God
of his
bless
other
him.
Films?
God bless him.
He directed, he was a producer on the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. All right. That's cool.
Quality work.
He directed some Gilligan's Island.
Everyone loves Gilligan.
That's true. I love Gilligan. Not afraid to admit it.
He directed 7 episodes of The Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay, so he was TV guy.
He made a movie in 1978 called Son of Hitler.
Hey! I missed Son of Hitler, but I heard it was great.
He directed 12 episodes of My Mother, the Car.
Oh, yes.
Huh.
See?
It's good.
It's okay, about a guy whose mom... R.C. Schmidt is going to come on the mic and describe My Mother, the Car.
My Mother, the Car is a classic 60s sitcom in which a man's mother dies and is reincarnated as his car.
As her son's car.
Let's talk about the word classic for a second, shall we?
Everything you need to know is in the title of the show.
Yeah, okay. There it is. It is, I mean, I'll give you that. The aptly named My Mother, the Car.
Right.
You know what,
no
Patrick?
Mystery.
I can't... disagree with you because I have never seen the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
I'll tell you what, I will let you borrow one of my two copies.
Oh. You know what we should do?
I thought we were friends.
We should live tweet the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
There another time.
We'll sit down and we'll live tweet the Garbage Pail Kids movie and then we'll decide.
All right.
You
another
let me
time.
Know when you need
Excellent.
It.
Excellent. Patrick, thank you
back.
Very much. Patrick Kavanaugh, folks.
All right, should we do this?
Let's do another caller, and then if anybody wants to approach the mic and talk about something they thought was cool as a kid, still think is cool today, but other people poo-poo on, make fun of them for it, we'd love to hear from you right after this next caller.
It's okay if you don't think it's cool anymore.
Looking at you!
We want to hear about your conflicted feelings, whatever they are.
Are you going to play the orca?
Look, all right, our next caller is the orca. For those of you that don't listen to the show, the orca is a man that calls from Maine.
The backwoods of Maine.
He says that he is 87 years old.
And he sounds like it.
Also, he's a little...
disgusting.
Racy? I don't know. It gets weird with the orca. The orca was here in this room where we're sitting last night. We missed him because we were recording the Maine show. I'm sorry.
Okay, not to mention, he didn't tell us. Had he, tweeted at us or something? I mean, come on.
He told us for weeks, I'm coming to Omaha. I'm coming to Omaha. And we were like, you're not coming to Omaha.
Yeah,
you're making that up.
He said, I'm coming this weekend, and I'll be here.
And here he walked in here. He met Keith. He met Dave.
That's awful.
We missed him.
That's awful. Play his call.
I've never been more ashamed.
So, parents, sorry if this is bad for little ears, but, stuff happens. It's America. Live with it.
They got to grow up sometime.
Think of it as education.
My answer is perhaps a bit of a stretch this week, but I know the sound of my voice makes you boys both a little moist. And after your week off, I dare not deprive you of your orca fix. So here goes. When I was a little one, we didn't have funny books. Paper was still a relatively new invention itself. So this week, I'm going to expound on experience from the 80s that I shared with one of my numerous illegitimate offspring, my son Bruce Alfred. Brucey's mom was DTF, even when she was pregnant, which led to me sticking around a bit longer than usual in order to keep sticking it to her and her exceptional derriere. Months turned into years, and before you know it, Brucey and I are reading G.I. Joe comics on the floor of his mother's double-wide. I recently went back in the THN archives and listened to Matthew and Toots count down their favorite G.I. Joes, and the emotions of those days came flooding back, tears and all. G.I. Joe might have been a little hokey, and the recent movies are okay at best, but the laser guns and ridiculous costumes will always remind me of those days with Brucey and those nights I made his mother dress like the various Joes for foreplay. The shipwreck costume, complete with the beard, was my favorite.
The beard even.
I even made her squawk like the parrot to complete your visual. Maybe it wasn't my childhood, but it was his. And what good are 16 little bastards if you don't get to live like a kid again yourself?
God, I love that guy, right?
I am so
it's
sorry.
It's like a perverted Garrison Keillor calls us once
a
week.
It's 1,000 times worse in a room full of people.
That's so great.
That's not okay.
Okay, so the G.I. Joe cartoon.
Well, I still love the G.I. Joe cartoon.
I still love
so.
The G.I. Joe cartoon as well. And
let's get some opinions. The G.I. Joe cartoon, has it aged well, yes or no? Yes? Patrick says no. Shaking his head. Doesn't think it's aged well. That's fine. I just went opinions. I think it has.
Omaha's foremost Garbage Pail Kids authority, Patrick Kavanaugh, doesn't like G.I. Joe the cartoon.
I beg to differ. I think G.I. Joe has aged well, and I'm going to side with him. I'm with Yorka on this one.
Likewise.
Fair enough. Do we have another live question? We do, from our man RC. You got, listen to this guy's radio voice. He's had training. Get ready, folks.
It's like Barry White.
It is.
Ooh.
Silky.
Ooh. Good. This is going to be a baby-making call. No.
Oh,
it's
no.
Not. No.
No.
No, it's not. But babies do arrive in my subject. My pick for this week is Robotech. Robotech was a much maligned anime series brought to America as three separate components by Carl Masek and Harmony Gold USA. Over the course of 82 episodes, you learn to live, love, and regret these characters. It is truly a landmark in American syndicated television. However, this is where it's not so fondly remembered today. Nowadays, purists say, oh, that's just a cannibalized version of Macross. It's terrible. Robotech is the worst thing to happen to anime. It set us back years.
Whoa.
Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Robotech is excellent. It is a soap opera for young viewers coming home from school every afternoon to watch it at 3:30. It is truly holding up well. I choose Robotech.
Robotech. Okay, you're going to have to help us out here. Joe and I are kind of anime and manga dummies. So the Robotech you're talking about is not the Macross saga.
It was one third of it was Macross.
Okay, so they like edited it.
They also took two other series, Super Dimensional Cavalry, Southern Cross, and Genesis Climber Mos Pieta, and took those three completely different series.
I thought you just said a bunch of
you
random
know.
Words.
I could say anything
cage,
right now.
Fire, penguin, wrestling guy.
I could say anything right now, and Matt will just nod along and be like, yeah, yeah. Sure, that's a thing that's
okay.
Happening, of course.
He
yeah,
might
why
be
not?
Having a stroke. I don't know.
This guy is climbing on a moss crack. I don't know what's
so
happening.
So this was given to American audiences to try and see if they would
yeah.
Go for it. Oh, okay.
They took the three series, chopped and cut them into one.
Got it.
And with a solid, cohesive storyline that ran over the course of 82 episodes. No other show has really done that before or since.
Okay. So, Robotech.
Thank you, RC.
We're going to have to take your word for it. I don't know.
RC, have you ever contributed to the show before?
No, I have not.
Welcome aboard!
Long-time
aboard.
Listener, first-time
yeah.
Talker.
Look at this guy. He did it in front of people. You guys need to step it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Bunger. He's been sitting in Artist Alley all day drawing pictures. John, what would you like to defend from your childhood?
Oh, wait.
Let's give him some volume.
We're going to talk about Godzuki.
Okay.
People bag on Godzuki. Man, all right.
From the Godzilla cartoon, the American Godzilla cartoon in the 80s.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me just put it, I'm going to keep it short and sweet.
Appreciate that.
He'll remember what you've said about him when he gets older. Thank you, guys.
You'd think he doesn't know, but he knows.
For those of you who don't know, Godzuki was the Scrappy-Doo to Scooby-Doo on the Godzilla show. He was a funny little winged fat dinosaur that tumbled around everywhere he went. Like, couldn't fly at all. And every time he tried, he did, like, cartwheels and crap through the air. And it was, like, the part... Actually, we should just roll that theme song. It's so good. The theme song's awesome, and then it breaks down. They're, like, singing about Godzilla, and it's super tough. And then it breaks down, and it's like, and Godzuki. It's so bad. And nobody thinks it was cool. And unfortunately, John, nobody remembers it because we're the oldest guys in the room. It's sad. It's sad, really. Some of us were alive in the 80s. Coming up next, we have a stalwart of this show, a man who hasn't been here for a little while. I'm looking right at him. Folks, I'd like to introduce to you the Amazing Spider Brad. Bradley, if you would, round of applause for the Amazing Spider Brad, folks. Brad, whenever you're ready, son.
All righty. Had a conversation with Mr. Binder downstairs.
Okay.
And I've been thinking about this one for a while today.
Okay.
Two words.
Could you move just a little closer to the mic?
Yep, two words. Okay. Back to 1999.
Okay.
When episode one, The Phantom Menace, Star Wars comes out.
I see you working.
Two words. Pod racing.
What? I did not see that coming.
Pod racing. I thought it was the tits.
Oh,
I thought
come
pod
on.
Racing was so cool. The N64 game came out. That's what made me buy the N64.
Okay, the game was rad. I'll give
the game
that.
Was rad.
Game was rad.
Now, I thought it was so neat. I didn't care that essentially anyone riding one of these would be burned to singes the second they start up their engines. It didn't matter. I thought it was badass. I thought it was awesome. And the only thing that bothered me is, oh, look, Anakin's the only kid that can do it. I was like, well, who cares? It's still awesome. I wish I could do it. I wish I had midichlorians.
No, you don't.
So I could ride.
No, you don't.
So I could drive a friggin' pod racer. That's all I
want to
do.
Man,
now.
I want you to defend midichlorians now.
No, well, that ruined everyone's hopes that they could be a Jedi.
Yeah,
really.
It turns out you need some
genetic.
Bugs in your blood system.
Too bad.
And you got it.
Nope. Pod racing.
Pod racing.
That's my answer. Thought it was rad.
Okay, so you're telling me the 15 minutes that they took out of episode one.
Worth it.
They could have done anything else.
They should just have a whole nother movie called Pod Racing.
And they stuck an 8-year-old. In a stupid drag racer that flies.
Totally worth it.
And you're into it.
100%.
Okay. All right. Pod racing.
Pod racing.
That is awesome. I did not see that answer coming.
Pod racing is super cool.
Okay. The act of pod racing is neat. Go ahead, Patrick.
Historically speaking, I think that Brad is wrong about absolutely everything.
Okay.
But I will back him on the Nintendo 64 pod racing game because it was super rad.
It was a great game.
Patrick well, Gavinoff. There you have it. There you have it.
Say what you will about episode 1, 2, and 3. Some people like the pod racing scene. I would argue when you're trying to build a whole mythos to spell out the Star Wars movies, wasting 15 to 20 minutes on a really bad race scene just shows that you can't write any more script. But, hey, who am I? Just a dude here. We're way too late for Godzilla now. The time is coming.
I've got
gone.
The Godzilla theme song.
It's come and gone. It's
all
come
right.
and gone.
The magic is gone.
I know we have another caller, though.
Matt, we got a new caller.
We have a brand new caller, folks. A first-time caller.
From Brazil.
From Brazil?
That's another country.
Oh, my God. Are you sure?
That's not even in America.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, it's Central America.
Brazil, like
South
right,
America.
Right next to Mexico, right? Like, right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. California, Mexico, Brazil. Got it. I was an English major. I don't know if it shows.
Hey there, guys. My name's Michael. I am a first-time caller from Brazil. I like your podcast, and I'm here to answer the question, what was my childhood love?
Michael sounds like a
and,
nice guy.
My childhood love has to be
I bet he's a psycho.
The movie Looney Tunes Back in Action. When I saw it, I adored that movie. Like, I think that movie is what made me the Looney Tunes fan I am today. And I'm a pretty big Looney
really?
Tunes fan.
Back
I love everything about that movie. Of course, I also loved Brendan Fraser. That was back when the movie was, well, back when that guy was popular. And I was surprised that not a lot of people liked that movie. When I went into the grand expanse of the internet, I found out that people actually think it's worse than Space Jam. And that baffled me, because, like, it's an awesome movie. I still think it's a great movie. I still think it captures the spirit of the characters way more than, you know, Space Jam did, or way more than any other modern production with the Looney Tunes did. And I think that Brendan Fraser is tolerable in the movie.
I think he's tolerable.
And really, I watched it
a
month ago. I laughed my butt off. It was really, really good. And if you think it's a bad movie, I suggest you, like, give it a second watch. It's on Netflix. You're going to... 1 hour and 20 minutes, tops. You're going to have a good time.
Okay.
Who wouldn't have a good time with the Looney Tunes? Well, that's my answer, and keep doing the great job you guys are doing. See ya.
Wow.
Welcome aboard, Michael. Let's get one thing straight.
Welcome aboard, Mikey.
Let's get one thing straight right off the bat. There is nothing worse than Space Jam.
Space Jam is terrible. We all agree Space Jam was terrible. Everyone. There's no defense of Space Jam.
Thumbs up
right?
from Patrick, of course.
Thumbs up, he agrees it's terrible, or he's a Space Jam fan? No, Space Jam was not awesome.
He believes he can fly. God.
Because I'll tell you what, if Looney Tunes, like, needed a shot in the arm, there's nothing like the NBA to really, you know, kick them back into relevancy, right? That is terrible. And I'm sorry, Michael, I appreciate your call, buddy, and maybe things are different in Brazil, but Looney Tunes Back in Action was awful.
You know, I remember that movie. I don't think it's awful.
It was awful. And Brendan Fraser, we actually get like a threefer here. He defended Space Jam, defended Looney Tunes Back in Action, and defended Brendan Fraser, which, wow. I admit I like The Mummy.
Hey.
I'll be the first to admit I like The Mummy. I like The Mummy 2 as well. I did not care for The Mummy 3 or The Scorpion King. Pass on those.
I think I don't remember much about this Looney Tunes movie, but I think I remember not thinking it's the worst.
I think I watched 20, 30 minutes of it, and I couldn't handle the new voices, and I just quit. I'm not saying, like, dig up Mel Blanc and make him go or something, but, I mean, really. I know, that's why the dig him up comment, Cameron, you know, it's not like Mel Blanc's face down in a gutter somewhere.
All right. Michael, thank you for your call.
That was great, Mike.
Welcome
thank
aboard.
You, buddy.
We're going to move on.
Chase, you have something you want to say?
Chase
Ladies
is
and
here.
Gentlemen.
Chase flew here from Washington, D.C. just to be on the show.
Those of you who are acting like
that's
you don't
true.
Care about this show, this man flew in from Washington, D.C. to do this, okay? This show is popular, you jerks. Chase?
We have ones of listeners.
The worst part is I didn't know what I was going to say until about 5 minutes ago when you talked about pod racing.
Okay. Can you get right up on the mic? You're going to make out with it.
Okay. I can do this.
That's
a little
bit
of tongue?
That's what I'm talking
okay. So it's something I've come full circle on.
Okay.
Because when I saw it as a child, I thought it was awesome.
Okay.
Because when you're a child and you hear Duel of the Fates, that's the only thing you remember.
Sure.
And then I grew up and I watched the Star Wars prequels again.
Okay.
And I realized that these were not very good movies. Until a couple months ago when I read a gigantic essay describing the prequels using a story format called Ring Theory. And I realized that although they are not technically good movies, with a complete lack of characterization, focus on thematics, or any sense of narrative drive,
sure,
they're absolutely fascinating movies because they're made by a man who no one would challenge and was only interested in their structure. And they mirror the original trilogy in such a concise way that only somebody who was a genius to the point of being a moron could have created them.
Can we say madman?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll go with madman. So just to take pod racing as an example, the idea behind ring structure is that the very final part of the story mirrors the very first, so on and so forth until you meet at the middle. Pod racing is only there to reflect the speeders on Endor. That's the only reason it exists
in that
movie.
Oh, I totally agree. Completely agree.
And once you start to notice those connections and start to see how they mirror one another and start to notice the individual shots that mirror what you loved in the original trilogy, it becomes a really enjoyable viewing experience. So, although I won't say the Star Wars movies are an example of great films or what we should aspire to make, I'm saying that they are a joy to watch once you recognize what Lucas wanted to do, which is both their downfall and what makes them a really interesting cultural icon.
Okay, so perhaps a terrifying look into the ego and psyche of a man with nothing but money and no one talented.
It's a lot like when I'm going to come on to do a Defender segment on Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Oh, boy! Wow.
There's an element of genius that can't be denied, and it once you recognize it, it makes the viewing experience enjoyable again.
Okay. All right. So you have to read an essay before you can like episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Got it. Got it.
You I'm still going to say thinking of them as filming. Movies and start thinking of them as
an experiment.
I don't know. Intellectual thought pieces. Well, ring theory?
Ring theory.
Yeah.
Okay.
As in, what comes around comes back around. What goes around comes around. Ring theory. Wheels within wheels, you know.
That's not...
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 100%
it's all
there.
Yes, it's all there. Chase Magnet, thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Wow. A truly terrifying look into the mind.
That was the most impassioned non-defense of the prequels I've ever heard.
It really was. So let's go to our final call. I don't think Clay Staley's here.
Clay's not here, the deadbeat.
He's going to represent himself via the magic of the internet.
All right.
What's going on? How we doing? Awesome. Hey, all right.
Hey,
what's
guys. It's Clay's of Future Past, which is the nickname I have given myself today.
Womp womp.
Even though I've never been on the forums, so it's probably going to change. I think if we were all honest with ourselves, some kind of music-related thing, a band or an album, would be what we're most embarrassed of loving as a kid.
Okay.
But I will skip over that, because that would be way too much to think about. But what I loved as a kid that is somewhat taboo now is Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace.
Okay.
And that may end up being a popular or a very unpopular answer, but as a 12-year-old when that movie came out, I was right in the target demographic. I was exactly who George Lucas was aiming at.
Clay's way younger than
me. Man, I just loved all of that. I saw that on opening day in the theaters, and maybe I'm slightly biased because of the excellent Nintendo 64 game of pod racing.
Whoa!
That made me kind of retroactively love the movie even more. But, man, as a kid, I did not notice the problematic racist caricatures or the fact that it was kind of a cynical money grab in a lot of ways, in that it was taking Star Wars from the realm of adult nerds and moving it to families and kids. And I think if I had been 10 years older when that movie came out, I would have been very angry at it. But I will still defend some aspects of it. That final battle scene where there's four battles going on at once and it's shifting between them is really cool. And there really are some legitimately good set pieces, but man, some of that acting is really bad. And I know she's gone on to do much better things, but man, Natalie Portman was so bad in it. Anyway, that's my answer. Hopefully you guys like it.
You know, that was a very well-reasoned...
No, it was well-reasoned. He was young. He was dumb. I get it.
Yeah, you know, I can't agree. Episode one is awful.
Okay, but Joe Patrick and I, years and years ago, we went to see episode one at the Cinema Center.
No, I didn't know you when episode one came out.
Yeah, you did.
No, 99? I don't know if I...
No, you totally did. Give me a break. We've known each other for a stupid long time.
All right, maybe.
We were both at Krypton. You weren't working there yet.
Yes, that's true.
But you came to the premiere, because we all went to the premiere. We had, like, the tickets and stuff. We sat down, we watched episode one, and we walked out, and we were like, yeah, that was awesome! And then the next day, we were like, yeah, I mean, I guess there were some problems with it. And then a week later, we were like,
I mean, it was, man, like, it was kind of awesome, right?
Half of it was, like, watching C-SPAN, and then we were like, wait a minute, that movie sucked!
Oh, those trade guys are racist!
Like, so hold on, the final battle is, like, a bunch of, you know, like, Rastafari fish people versus really dumb rabbit-looking robots? Like, hold on. I mean...
Roger, roger.
Come on. That was just terrible.
Yeah, but that Darth Maul lightsaber battle is pretty
cool.
Okay,
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. The scene with the I don't even know what they were. They were, like, going into some force field opening door.
They're the world's most dangerous revolving doors.
Yeah, but you'll notice that about everything in the Star Wars universe. It was like, we're just going to put a big platform that sits 700 feet in the air with no guardrails or anything that leads down to radiation well or whatever. And people just walked around like no big deal. There were no industrial accidents.
No, never.
Yeah. It was like 2 million days since our last workplace accident or whatever.
Thank you, Clay. Thank you. Thank you for your call. You know what? I appreciate your answer, and I support your decision.
Fair enough. Do we have anybody else who wants to step up live and defend something? that they loved when they were a kid that is not so cool now. This is last call.
Okay.
Okay, screw you guys. We're going to get into our answers.
Favorite answer.
What we do every week is we take all the answers that we're given, and then Joe and I pick our favorites because the jerks listening to the show demand it become a contest. We don't want to do this. They make us do it. Joe Patrick, why don't you tell us your favorite answer?
I didn't take any notes.
I didn't either.
I was too busy running the thing.
I remember the one I liked.
My favorite answer is Anthony's.
Hold on here. We have a taker. Step up to the microphone, sir. You got to get right up on it. You can move it down a little bit.
Hello.
You can move it down a little bit.
I'm fine like this.
Okay. First, identify yourself.
My name is Christopher McLucas.
Christopher McLucas.
This is Christopher the Baristifer.
Welcome aboard.
Author of The Giggle Farm.
Woo! That's right.
Facebook.com/TheGiggleFarm.
We would love to hear your answer.
I don't know if that's an accurate website.
Very accurate.
All right, good.
My answer is Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live.
Like the whole breadth of it.
Okay.
Because, I mean, like, as you know, starting it was great. Nothing but great sketches. Great.
Sure.
And then as time went on, you know, people's perception of it just changed. And I mean, you can see like the highs and lows, but I always thought that it was always doing what Saturday Night Live was always about.
That's a great answer.
No,
that's but people do really bash on it today. That's
they do.
True.
They like it's like it, nothing mattered. It's like
no, you're right. Because you tell people, oh man, Saturday Night Live was really funny last week. They go,
they don't believe.
Really?
Yeah, like you know, sure, like, buddy.
Seriously?
Yeah, like sure.
Yeah, it's not like I'm watching Hee Haw. We're talking about Saturday Night Live. This show is funny sometimes.
Yeah, like oh.
That's a great answer.
Thank you for your answer, Christopher. Okay, Saturday Night Live. I like the out of the box, non like kind of nerdy answer. That was good.
Yeah.
Right?
So let's do the favorite call.
Let's do our favorites. Get on there. Joe Patrick.
Are you going to explain it again, or are you going to edit Christopher's call?
I'll edit. So this is the part of the show where we pick our favorite answer.
We decide which one of you we love more than the others.
It's true.
I love Anthony more than all the others today because he really did convince me that the Ewoks are awesome.
He did not convince me that the Ewoks are awesome.
No. His explanation was on point.
I'm not saying he didn't have a good explanation. I'm just saying I don't buy it.
You're jaded.
I love Anthony, and he's a good kid. Anthony
well, then,
from Brooklyn.
Who did you pick, then?
I'm going with Demetrius Murray, because I feel like Demetrius pointed out a glaring flaw in nerd culture today, where somehow My Little Pony is cool, but the Care Bears are not. How is that possible? It just blows my mind.
Well, the Care Bears aren't cool because they stopped doing Care Bears 30 years ago.
So IDW is going to have a Care Bear comic book anytime now, right?
When they have a Care Bears revival, you can bet that people will line up at the door to support it.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. That was great, by the way.
Oh, for
definitely.
Sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. That was our magician friend. He gave us his oldmarketmagician.com.
Oh, yeah.
For all your magic need, folks, oldmarketmagician.com.
All right.
Let's
wrap this nonsense
let's
up.
Let's get to the point where we answer our questions. Do you want to go first?
No, you go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead. So, at first, my gut reaction was Tron.
People still love Tron.
My gut reaction was the first Tron, but then I kind of threw it out there on Twitter, and everyone was like, no, what are you talking about? Everyone still loves Tron.
Yeah.
Inframan. That's a good one. I like Inframan.
Inframan?
I
saw Inframan opening that Tron. I was driving
when I was like six. Right on. But you know what? I'm going to go with something easier than that. I'm going to go for something that's pretty obvious if you know me. I'm going to go for the old 1960s Toho Godzilla movies. The cheesy dude in the costume, trashing like the model of the city, rolling around on the ground, wrestling with other monsters. I love the old 60s Godzilla films. I defend them as art to this day. And people think they are the dumbest things in the world, and they laugh at them and been made fun of them forever. I'm saying what they did with their budget and their creativity, with the money that they had to make those films, is truly art. It's amazing. And in, I believe it was Destroy All Monsters, there was an actor that actually died on the set in the Godzilla suit. There was smoke everywhere. He smothered it and died, and they left the footage of him rolling around in the suit in the movie because his family said he would have wanted that.
Oh, no.
That is incredible. Oh. The guy died in the costume.
He died for Godzilla.
For Godzilla. I'm going with the old 60s Godzilla movies. Joe Patrick, what is your answer?
Oh, my gosh. I have no opinion about Godzilla. Okay, so I came of age in the very late 80s, very early 90s.
You're an old man.
Yeah, and I loved comics even then. And to this day, though I can't recommend it, I can't say that it's good, I still love the Spider-Man Clone Saga.
Wow.
Love it.
Wow.
Deal with it, America.
Oh, this gentleman wants to say something to you about the Clone Saga. Please.
Oh, no, I wanted to chime in about something, man.
Yeah, hit us.
What's your name?
Eric.
Eric, yeah, awesome,
first
welcome.
First time caller, long time listener.
All right.
No, when I was a teenager, way back in the 80s,
oh, man.
I was into this movie. It was Time Rider.
And yeah, dude.
And I swore up and down that it was the best movie ever.
Because it was totally rad.
Yeah, but all the other, like the real, like, Chicago nerds, like, shouted me down and told me that it was a piece of crap. But still to this day, I swear to God, it's the best science fiction
movie. The dude had
ever.
The red motorcycle, and he would set the date on it and then drive really fast and travel back in time.
And went back in time and became his own grandfather.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it's kind of incestuous. Sure. I mean, but.
No, it's not kind of incestuous. It's
straight
very
up.
Incestuous.
It's 100% incestuous. Thank you, Eric. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That was totally awesome, Eric. Thank you. Folks, we want to thank everybody that took part in the Answer of the Week. You can hear this show every week on iTunes for free. It's better edited, and there's music that comes in and stuff like that, and there's no feedback because we're not doing it live.
There will be a lot fewer awkward pauses.
It's true. We have another show called the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast that we just talk about comics. Just Joe and I, we're in there. We're talking about comics, reviewing stuff. We're talking about the news. It's a good time. You should check that out as well. Right now, before we go, I need Joe Patrick to tell you guys what next week's question is.
We're living in a golden age of comic book movies and TV shows. The world is so starved for more comic book entertainment that we've now seen two different versions of Quicksilver hit the silver screen. This week's question is, of all the ways that superpowers have been shown in film and television, which one is your favorite and why? Not your favorite character, your favorite depiction of a superhuman ability on the screen.
That's cool.
Do you really love the way they did Dr. Octopus's arms? Did you really think Ray Park's tongue in X-Men was awesome?
Oh man, it was cool.
I want to know about it. Bonus question. Now that Age of Ultron is out, who did Quicksilver the best, Joss Whedon or Bryan Singer?
So X-Men, Days of Future Past, Quicksilver, or Age of Ultron Quicksilver? That is your bonus question. Folks, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for playing along. Can we get a fake round of applause?
Yeah!
A fake round of applause.
Look at all these people.
All right. That almost felt like it wasn't fake. We appreciate it. We'll be back
the
this coming weekend.
The checks are in the mail.
With another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. But for now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.